Hello, this is Bill Powers with MiningStockEducation.com, and we're here in Toronto at PDAC 2017, and with me is Mr. Adrian Day. Adrian is the author of the book Investing in Resources. He's also the president and CEO of Adrian Day Asset Management, and also a newsletter writer. That is, his newsletter is read globally regarding global economics as well as the natural resource sector. Adrian, thank you for joining me
today.
Well,
thank you for having me.
So we're here at PDAC, and I'd like to ask you to begin with, you've been to many of these conferences. How do you rate, or what do you pick up on with investor sentiment at this conference versus previous years?
Interesting question. I think it's positive. I think we're in a sweet spot almost. It's positive, but it's certainly not exuberant and overly optimistic. So I think we're at a good place. People are positive. But it's still a good time to get into the sector.
And how would you rate the overall commodities market at this time?
You know, I really look at the commodities quite differently. Sometimes you can say, particularly in the early 2000s, for example, you could say the whole commodity sector was going up. But I think you have to be a lot more discriminating now among the various commodities. But in general, I would say there's three major concerns. One is China, and are they going to, is their growth slowing down, or are they going to continue to be major buyers of most commodities? Secondly, Trump is a big uncertainty. And the third thing, of course, is interest rates. We hear a lot about the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. Maybe you don't want to talk about that, but let's just say that I would almost dismiss that as something that's going to really hurt the commodity market. So the U.S. and particularly China are the two big question marks. But I think some of the commodities are looking very, very positive from the point of view of investors wanting to buy. I mean, copper, for example, in particular, outside the precious metals, copper, I would say, would be my number one right now as a major play.
Do you think lithium is overbought, so to speak?
You know what? I really don't get involved in a lot of these. I don't get involved much in things like lithium, graphite, rare earths, because they're a little too speculative for my taste. They tend to sort of come and go, and the truth is most people, including myself, don't really understand the markets. Mm-hmm. Because they have different dynamics than copper or nickel or lead. They're too small, they're thinly traded, they're all done on contracts. So I tend to avoid those.
Do you have any thoughts on cobalt?
Well, cobalt, not nothing very insightful or dynamic. I think cobalt is definitely a good play for the next few years, both from a demand and a supply situation. But I don't have any sort of key insights, okay, if you know what I mean.
Uranium, since the end of last year, uranium has really been on a tear. I should say the uranium shares, many of them have doubled. The spot price, we know, is only about $22, $23 right now. What are your thoughts on the uranium market?
Yeah, it has been on a tear, but of course, if you put it in context from the huge declines we got from 2011 till really the end of last year, then it looks a little bit like a blip on a chart.
True.
I think my view on this is more consensus than my view on a lot of things, because I love being a contrarian. I don't like being saying the same thing everyone else does. But my view on uranium is the next. We still have an oversupply situation. And that's the fundamental thing that you have to understand. Right now, we're producing more than we're consuming, and that ignores even the stockpile. So right now, we're in an oversupply situation. We also know, if you look, 5 years ahead, even 4 years ahead, with the China reactors coming on, the possibility, with Japanese reactors coming back, but at what speed, we're not quite sure. And with the decline in production, frankly, from nearly everywhere, Kazakhstan, Namibia, as well as other areas, we know that in 3 or 4 years we're going to run into a deficit. The real question for me, so long term I'm bullish, the real question for me is when does the market look ahead to that deficit and you start to see prices of uranium as well as the shares move up? personally, the bottom line or the takeaway, I think the shares have moved too far too fast, mm-hmm. given the fundamentals and the price of uranium. But when you start to see those long-term contracts that were struck in 2010 at much higher prices, when you start to see those long-term contracts from 2009, 10, 11 roll off and be renegotiated at significantly lower prices, I think then you're going to start to see that's going to be the start of the turn in the market. But we're not there yet, I don't think.
So would you, if you were advising an investor, do you think that there'll be a further pullback
year in uranium? Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't chase the prices right now.
Okay.
And now there's some great companies, NextGen, for example, great company doing great things. But as a sector, I would wait for a pullback.
And what are your thoughts on the agricultural minerals?
You know, I don't really follow those so closely because, again, there's a lot of dynamics that go into that, and they're not different from the normal dynamics when you're looking at, you know, gold or copper or platinum or something.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on a 21,000 Dow and if that's sustainable?
That's a difficult question because when you look at a Dow, I don't think it's sustainable. But when you look at Dow 21,000, you have to recognize that the U.S. market is very overvalued. On a fundamental basis, the valuations are extremely rich. In fact, on fundamental valuations, this is more expensive than the market's been for 90% of the last 100 years. So it's not a mania, as in the 2000, you know, the dot-com bubble. We're not at manic levels yet, other than a few stocks, in my view, like Facebook and... what's that other one that came public the other
Snapchat.
Day? Snapchat itself says we don't think we'll ever make money, and yet people are giving it a $1 billion mm-hmm. valuation. Doesn't make sense to me. But apart from a handful of companies like that, the market is not in manic levels, but it's definitely above its average valuations. Now, why is that, of course? Well, you know, the Trump factor is a real factor for the stock market. You know, if Trump is successful or the administration is successful in removing some of the regulations from banks, for example, that justifies the fact that the bank stocks have gone up so much. It's a justification. And so the rally we've seen in the Dow is not total fantasy,
mm-hmm.
but you're really asking all of the best things about Trump to happen,
mm-hmm.
for tax cuts, for tax simplification, for deregulation, and you're really asking none of the bad things to happen. And I think that's just a wish too much.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line, we're being very cautious on the U.S. market.
And speaking about the downside, what do you see as the downside potential with President Trump if things don't go the right way?
On the market or just...
How you would see the worst-case political situation?
The worst case to me, I guess it's the worst case would be is if we get into some war in Iran or... God forbid, with China over the China Sea or something like that. I would like to think that wiser heads in the White House will prevail. I think the biggest risk, the biggest likely risk, is protectionism. And, I mean, we can talk about American jobs leaving and low-cost foreign labor, and we can talk about all of this, but the plain fact is protectionism is bad for an economy. It's bad for the stock market. And there's always two sides to these, of course. We talk about a job going overseas, but, of course, we're getting cheap goods in. So the poor in America, do they really want to see the price of everything at Walmart go up 25%? Probably not. You know, and people don't really focus on that side of it. But we know that protectionism is bad for an economy. And it would, frankly, probably be negative for gold as well, because... Typically, protectionism is, if the U.S. becomes very protectionist, you're going to see the dollar get stronger in the near term over a period of, you know, a year or two. And that's going to be negative for gold. So protectionism, I think, is the worst thing that we have to worry about.
And in conclusion, Adrian, the gold and silver markets, what are your thoughts about gold and silver in both the short and long term, please?
I am very bullish on gold and silver, very bullish. You know, if you look at gold and silver, for that matter, but if you look at gold relative to financial assets, relative to stocks and bonds, which after all is what they compete against, you know, you tend to buy gold when you're worried about the stocks. If stocks are doing wonderfully, you don't think you need gold. in very broad sense, you're looking at gold at a 10-year low relative to the S&P, despite the rally we had in gold last year. If you look at the gold stocks on a fundamental basis, price to cash flow, price to ounces in the ground, price to production, and price to net asset value for that matter, they're selling pretty close, not at the bottom, but they're selling pretty close to 20-year lows. So first of all, they're inexpensive. But I think the biggest thing, the two big things supporting gold, one is the Trump factor, the unpredictability, and gold clearly is something you buy when you're concerned about the future. There was a headline in an article I read about 6 months ago that said gold is the best defense against politicians, and you know I think that's true. And then you look at Europe. You see what we've got there with far-right candidates in Holland and France. You've got two rounds of elections in France. Then you've got the German elections in September, the Italian elections in, I think, January or February next year. But a lot of pressure in Italy for a referendum on the euro. Plus, you've got the Greek debt. Greece is going to run out of money again in the summer. And we're going to have all those negotiations again. Now, is Merkel going to be quite so friendly towards Greece? And a lot of Greeks would think she wasn't particularly friendly last time around. That wasn't the right choice of word. But is the German taxpayer and the German government going to really want to bail out Greece again 1 month ahead of the federal election? I suspect they're going to want to put a stronger stance on. All of these things have the potential for crisis. Even if Le Pen doesn't become president of France, and it sounds odd just saying it, but even if she doesn't become, you've got the potential for crisis headlines, you know, if she comes in second with a very strong showing. So, you know, crisis headlines in Europe, unpredictability of Trump, I think that's all positive for gold.
And silver? Any thoughts
and
on
silver? Well, silver, of course, everybody knows silver tends to have much more upside in a strong market, tends to be more downside in a down market. It tends to do best when the reasons gold is going up are monetary. So if we have inflation come back, silver will well outperform gold. If we have gold go up because of some geopolitical crisis, silver will go up, of course, but it won't necessarily outperform by the sort of, it won't have the sort of leverage to gold that we, that a lot of people think. It tends to have that leverage when it's a monetary factor, not a geopolitical factor. But I mean, you'd have to be bullish on silver at this mm-hmm. point if you're bullish on gold.
Well, Adrian, I want to thank you for joining me. And could you share with viewers your website and anything about your books or services that you offer?
Well, that's very nice of you. Yeah, the easiest way to go over is just to go to my website, which is adrianday.com. No hyphens, dots, or slashes, or anything else. AdrianDay.com, and then it'll show you where the money management is. I should point out, since we're in Canada, this isn't available to residents of Canada.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay.
And this is Bill with MiningStockEducation.com, reporting from PDAC 2017.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on MiningStockEducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.